This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
You walk in tired and hungry. One bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors. From fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The minority leader in the New York State Senate, State Senator Rob Ort. Rob, good morning.
Joe, good morning.
Hey, Rob, understand you just got back from a trip overseas, meeting with some political influencers. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to travel to Israel along with some other state legislators, including State Senator Jake Ashby from the Capital Region, who's another veteran like myself. And basically they were taking elected state leaders who served in the military. They were taking us over to Israel to meet with Israeli Defense Forces officials, elected officials, just to basically assess the security situation in Israel, as well as meet with some of the elected leaders of the Knesset to just better understand some of the domestic political situations over there as well. And as you know, and I'm sure your listeners know, New York State, a very large Jewish population, and really a lot of connections between the state of New York and the nation of Israel, and between the United States and the nation of Israel, which is our only ally, true ally, in the Middle East. And so it was a great opportunity for me, and I took away, I think, a better perspective of what the people of Israel and the Jewish people face every single day over there in the Middle East.
And, you know, talking about relations with the U.S. in Israel, how do those in Israel view their relationship with the United States in 2023?
You know, I think that the big issue that I heard time and again was the fact that the Prime Minister Netanyahu has not been invited to the White House. That is a first. That has not happened, certainly in recent memory. And I think it's seen as problematic to the nation of Israel, because that is viewed by Israel's enemies, people, countries like Iran, you know, countries like Egypt, as well as terrorist organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah. That is viewed as that there is a break in relationship between the United States and Israel, and that kind of thing can be exploited. And so I think that is viewed as an issue, and that's why I think there's an even greater effort by organizations who want to see a strong relationship between Israel and the United States to sort of up their efforts with congressional leaders, with state leaders like myself, to really ensure that that relationship continues into this new century, which is, you know, is shaping up to be even maybe more dangerous than the 20th century. But certainly a weakening of U.S. power, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the fact that the prime minister has not been invited to the White House, those kinds of things, the BDS movement, those kinds of things are seen as problematic for the people of Israel. Because without the United States, without that tight relationship, the world gets a lot more dangerous, both for Israel and I think across the globe. So that is certainly, I think, a concern that all Americans should pay attention to. And, you know, it would be nice to see President Biden invite the Prime Minister of Israel to the White House to show that the United States and Israel are still very, very strong partners.
What are some of those issues that are facing Israel today? And who are some of the political leaders that you met with?
So I think the big issue outside, I mean, look, from a security standpoint, that's always the number one issue in Israel. We visited every border. We were at Gaza. We were at the West Bank. We were up in the Lebanese border as well as the Syrian border. The situation in Syria, I think, is probably maybe in some ways the most troubling. You have a failed state in Syria. You have the Russians. You have multiple terrorist organizations, as well as the remnants of, I guess, a Syrian government. So those are all real concerns, I think, for the nation of Israel. It should be concerns for all of us. But I think on the domestic side, the judicial reform, the judicial protests that you've seen in the nation of Israel, that there is no constitution in the nation of Israel. So they don't have a constitution which they fall back on. There are certain standards that their high court looks at when they're reviewing different laws and different issues. And the government has sought to rein in what they see as a more activist court. Those are obviously conversations and debates that we have over here in the United States, whether it's in the state of New York or across the country. And I met with the government, the minister in the government, the coalition government, who is leading the reforms, leading the effort to reform the court. And then I met with his name was Simcha Rothman. And then I met with a leader in the Knesset of the opposition, who, you know, it takes a more, I guess, a different view, which is that the court offers a check and a balance on the legislative branch and the executive branch. So not issues that we would find completely foreign here, right? Maybe from a different angle, but we hear Democrats talking about packing the court. We hear Democrats talking about, they don't like the conservative rulings that are coming out of the Supreme Court. I actually think those rulings are in line with the Constitution. They think maybe differently. So, you know, two different nations and maybe from two different angles, but obviously some of the same issues, which is the role that the court plays in civic life and in the future of the country. And what does the country look like with whether it's an activist court or a court that's adhering more to the Constitution?
Was it that led to Netanyahu getting back in power? Did you hear anything about, you know, he was voted out and then a year later voted back in? Did that come up at all in your conversations?
The big issue, I think, around there was the issue. Again, I go back to the security issue. You have a whole generation of Israelis that, you know, coming out of the second intifada, that was their, you know, sort of, I would say, it's like our post 9/11 generation, right? You have a lot of Americans today that are in their 20s. All they know is post 9/11. All they know were the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. Over there, it's the second intifada, and they saw, you know, the violence that came out of that. And so for them, their attitude is, look, we want a leader who's going to keep Israel strong, who's going to protect us from whether it's terrorists, whether it's Iran, people who want to harm us, quite frankly, people who want to end the Jewish state. And I think the big debate for over there is the future of Israel, not just from a security standpoint, but is it a Jewish state? And I think Benjamin Netanyahu and his government have affirmatively said, we're going to protect our people. We're going to protect our country, and we're going to make sure that Israel remains a free Jewish state in the future. And I think that is really, that's the reason Benjamin Netanyahu remains popular. He's protecting the people of Israel, the people of the Jewish state. And I think that remains the number one issue for the people over there. And that was my takeaway as to why he's been returned to power and why even amongst some of the legal challenges that he has faced, he has remained popular and he has remained the prime minister.
What do you think it would take from what you saw to end the conflict for Israel? Do you think this will just always be an issue for Israel that the United States needs to help out with or to be there in support of? Or is there a way to end the conflict?
You know, it's very difficult for me at the current moment, Joe, to say that there's a silver bullet or an easy path out of this conflict. Even if you had a solution to the Palestinian issue, you know, even if you had some sort of agreement where there was a nation of Palestine created alongside the nation of Israel, I don't know if that would in and of itself solve all of these security issues you have over there. I think as long as there are organizations and governments, namely Iran, who calls for the end of Israel, the end of the Jewish state, I think you're always going to have a security issue over there. And I think, quite frankly, there's a lot of other Arab nations and Iran, Saudi Arabia, who in some cases, they don't want to see the end of the Palestinian issue because it's an issue for them that allows them to obviously bring in money. It allows them to continue to sort of exert influence in that part of the world as it relates to Israel, as it relates to Palestine, as it relates to the United States. So I think, the larger question is, you know, how does the United States continue to navigate? How do our leaders continue to navigate what is obviously a very, very dangerous situation with one of our most staunch allies, the nation of Israel? Obviously, we have other interests in there. We have other allies over there, but none of those allies are true, a democracy, a Republican form of government, an elected form of government, and none of those allies can we trust the way we can trust the nation of Israel. And so I think whoever's in the White House, whether it's Republican, whether it's Democrat, who's ever running Congress or the Senate, needs to remember that. And I hope that that's at the forefront of our elected leaders in Washington's mind, that it's a very dangerous situation over there. And I think every elected leader should go to Israel. We have some elected leaders, Joe, that are not willing to go to Israel, mostly on the Democratic side. They don't want to go over there. I think that's a huge mistake. And I think that's a cause of concern for me. I think all of our leaders should go over there and really understand the security situation and how the United States can be helpful.
Yeah, it seems like we have leaders in the White House every week. You know, anytime I turn on the TV, there's always the president meeting with someone. Why do you think that that the president has not invited Netanyahu to the White House?
So I think it's my assumption has to be based on, of course, Donald Trump. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu got along very good with Donald Trump. Donald Trump, of course, the Abraham Accords are very celebrated in the nation of Israel. I was just there. The Abraham Accords are viewed as a huge, monumental foreign policy victory that was negotiated by the Trump administration. He moved the, he recognized Jerusalem as the where the embassy should be and not Tel Aviv, which I think was symbolic, but it was an important symbolic move. So I think all of those moves were supported by the Netanyahu government. And I think that relationship and the fact that the Netanyahu government is seen as a center-right government, that's the only reason I can think of why they would not have them over. Now, of course, they're going to blame it on the legal troubles of the president. But let's be honest. I'm sure there are several leaders that the Biden administration has brought in. And by the way, Joe Biden is not without his own legal troubles, with whether it regards his family, his son, himself, and yet people meet with him all the time. So, to me, that's a BS excuse. But whatever the rationale is that the Biden administration would give you, it's not in the interest of Israel, and it's not in the interest of the United States of America, especially in a post 9/11 world, to not show a strong, whatever privately we might disagree on with the Israeli leaders, we have to publicly show a strong relationship and a tight relationship and an alliance there, and not give our enemies, our mutual enemies, any reason to think that there might be an opening between the United States and the nation of Israel.
Last question on this. Do you think that the Republican candidates for president who haven't visited Israel yet should on this campaign?
I you know, look, when you're running for president, I'm sure there's a lot of other places that you got to be, and your time is the most precious resource trying to get around. I would, if they can go, they should go. And I think this topic, I mean, just the other day, I saw Vivek Ramaswamy was on Fox News talking about the relationship between Israel. Obviously, we know where the president stands on his support, President Trump, on his support for Israel. So I do think that every Republican candidate should be able to speak to this, and they can certainly better speak to it if they've been there, if they've met with Israeli leaders. I mean, just this week you saw Mayor Eric Adams, go to Israel. So I do think it is important to go over there. And I think it's, again, if you're running for president as a Republican, I think there's an opportunity on this topic because of how Joe Biden has handled foreign affairs and the Israeli situation. I think that there's a real opportunity for a Republican presidential candidate to be able to speak to the Israeli people, to be able to speak to the Jewish people, and to be able to appear strong and say we're going to have a stronger relationship with a Republican president than we are with the current president.
Now, before we let you go, there's the migrant issue here in New York State. We just talked with, in Erie County, the heads of the two parties. What's your take on the state's responsibility with what's going on here in Western New York?
So the state has basically allowed this. You know, the governor and her inaction until very recently has allowed this crisis to metastasize, to be exacerbated across the state. She has, by her lack of leadership on this issue, she has allowed this to turn into a full-blown crisis. But again, this is not a crisis like, you know, this isn't a disease that came from China. This isn't a hurricane that landed on the shores of New York or a blizzard that blew into Buffalo. This is a politically created crisis the Democrats have created between open borders policies at the federal level and sanctuary policies at the city and state level. That's why we are where we are. And so now, you know, you see people like Mayor Adams, the governor, trying to find their way out of this thing. People like Mark Poloncarz, who finger wagged and told people like Niagara County and Orleans County that they were morally repugnant because they didn't want to take, you know, migrants into their communities. And yet he did. And then he had to have the National Guard come in and have them removed. So, you know, I just find it a little hard to take when I see Democrats today, you know, trying to, what do we do? And now they're going to blame, of course, they're going to blame President Biden. And there's enough blame there because he has shown completely no action on the federal border or on the crisis here in New York. But you look at, you got Chuck Schumer, you got President Biden, you got the governor, Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul of the fifth largest state, and she is not able to marshal that leverage with the U.S. Senate Majority Leader or the U.S. President to get some kind of action on this crisis here in New York. That is a total failure of leadership at her level. It's a failure of leadership at Mark Poloncarz's level, and obviously a failure of leadership at the federal level. So, you know, I think people have, if you are upset about this crisis and you're looking around thinking who is doing anything about it, you have to look at the people who are in power. And I think we need to make some changes there on this issue and a lot of other ones.
What happens to the migrants that are in the state now? I mean, here in Erie County, obviously there's the pause, but, you know, I mean, I believe in New York City, they're still coming in. What does the state, remove the migrants? What's the state's responsibility in your opinion?
So I think the state certainly has a responsibility to, there's two, you know, I don't want to get like overly legal, but there's two points, the right to shelter laws that are in place both in the city and at the state level should be reviewed and I think should be either paused or changed. And obviously the sanctuary policies that are in New York City that say we will not cooperate. If you can get to New York City, we will not cooperate with federal law enforcement, because these folks, that is a official policy in the city of New York, and it's sort of an unofficial policy in the state of New York. And so until we stem the tide, to your point, unless we can stem the flow, even as we try to address the migrants who are here, you're going to be bailing water out one hand while more water's coming in a different hole, right? So you have to be able to stem the flow of migrants coming to the state of New York, coming to the city of New York, because obviously they're coming into the city and the mayor is just busing them all over New York State. That should be stopped. That should be stopped, full stop. The governor should tell. He wants her to do an emergency order to force other communities to take migrants. What she should do is an order telling the mayor, you have to stop busing these folks all over the state. And then you have to stop your sanctuary policies, and we got to get a handle on the people who are there, whether it's getting, you know, waiting for them to get vetted properly, waiting for them to get working papers. But all of that should be done. This is not overly difficult. This is a political crisis created by Democratic policies, failed Democratic policies, and that's why we are where we are. Again, this is not a crisis like a storm or a pandemic or something that we were out of our control. This was actually created by failed Democratic policies. Again, open borders policies and sanctuary policies. And the state can do things. The governor can do things. Whether she is willing to, that's a different story.
Final question, getting back to Albany, I believe next month, what is on the agenda? What are you looking forward to?
Well, we have to get back and do this, the casino compact, which is still nowhere. That affects Buffalo. It affects Niagara Falls. It affects Salamanca. So Western New York stands to lose a great deal of money, quite frankly, as well as obviously our partners in the Seneca Nation, with no deal between the state and the Senecas on the horizon. This is another sort of failure or a missed layup by the Hochul administration. She recused herself because at that time her husband was working for Delaware North, and that recusal has resulted in an agreement that should have been able to get done that didn't get done at the end of session, you know, in June. And there's hundreds of millions of dollars at stake for the state, and there's tens of millions of dollars at risk for the cities of Buffalo, Niagara Falls, and Salamanca if this doesn't get done. So this is, I think, the most, certainly in Western New York, outside of the migrant crisis, this is the probably most pressing local matter that I don't hear anyone talking about, and it needs to be talked about because there's real impacts in our communities here in Western New York if that does not get done.
State Senator Rob Hoart, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Joe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.